to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Wednesday, March the 18th. I am your host, Mike, and I am joined today by Tom Ernesty from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well now that free agency is officially underway in the NFL, but we already knew the moves coming in, which, like what we said the other day, you know, start free agency Monday. Don't start it today, but here we are. The official contract signings are happening, and the Dolphins are vastly improved. And, Mike, they were not done today.
No. And as I said on the podcast yesterday on Tuesday's show, the way they have reshaped their defense really is impressive, and they added another piece to that today. Mind you, it's a backup linebacker, special teams player. I get that, but it's just another piece where they have, you know, just, you know, turned over so much on that side of the ball. You know, even if they don't make another addition here in free agency, even if they don't use one of the early round picks, around one or two on that side of the ball, if they were to have to play a game tomorrow, that defense Miami has now, you know, is vastly improved and one of the stronger units, I would say, in the AFC right now, just because of what they added in the secondary with Jones and how that reshapes that secondary. And what they've added up front, mind you, not like huge name players, but, you know, enough, they've added enough pieces to go along with the Wilkins, to go along with the Godchow, to go along with McMillan, to go along with Baker, to make that a formidable front seven at least. And, you know, and I'm sure they're going to do more, but even if they don't, how they've reshaped that side of the ball literally overnight really is remarkable.
I think, you know, a big round of applause to Chris Greer, Marvin Allen, and the front office for the Miami Dolphins. We were talking just before we came on, Mike, and we were talking about, you know, cap space and what they possibly have left. But the more remarkable thing, if you really dive into the Dolphins cap space, yes, they spent a lot of money. Yes, they handed out a lot of guaranteed money. Yes, they added a lot of starters to this team. But when you look at their future, before you add in the rookies and things like that, the Dolphins right now, as we sit here, are projected to have near $70 million in cap space in 2021. That is with every single addition that they just did. So just brilliant cap work, making sure that they're paying these guys what they what the market is, maybe even a little bit above. But you're getting the players that fit the mold, and this defense is going to look much, much different next year. And I would be shocked if the Miami Dolphins do not vastly improve from giving up from 31 points a game in 2019. I mean, on paper, again, the games aren't played on paper, but when you look at the roster up and down now, before we even get into the draft, the amount of talent and the amount of depth that they've added allows the Dolphins to do so much, whatever they want to do in the draft. So they have been 100% honest with us. They said that they're going to be smart and aggressive in free agency. They were. They added starters. Mike, you and I talked about with the free agency preview article, we talked about adding starters. This would be a home run free agency, I believe you said, if they added at least five starting players. Mike, how many have they added?
You got two on the defensive line, one linebacker, that's three, one at corner, right there's four. You got a center and a left guard, that's 5-6. I'll call the running back a starter, although it'll probably be a timeshare. So you got seven. Seven, I think. Yeah, seven starters, and it's 8:15 on March 18th. Literally, technically 4 hours into the official free agency, although none of these contracts have been signed, and they might not be for a while because of the physicals. It might take weeks for these guys to actually get down to Miami to take a physical, which I understand. But it's like that for every team. But they've added 7 starters within the first, 3 days of the tampering period, free agency, however you want to slice it. They've added 7 starters. And on top of that, they've added 2 key special team players. It's like they are – it's just really remarkable. Look, we knew they had a ton of money, and we knew they were going to be active. As I said this all season in September when they were losing by, 50 points weeks 1 and 2. This league, you don't have time to waste. Everyone thinks, well, he got a 5-year contract, Brian Flores. They're going to build it through the draft, take their time. No. In this league, it's what have you done for me lately? Yes, last year was a honeymoon year. They didn't expect them to win any games, Miami. Ross would have been okay with it. Everyone would have been okay with it. The fact they won 5, remarkable. But, year 2, even if they went 0-16 last year, the expectations this year were going to be much higher. And right now, coming off a 5-win season, no Tom Brady in the AFC East. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. The expectations are, rapidly rising for this team right now heading into 2020. And, they know. Chris Greer knows. Chris Greer has been in Miami forever. Maybe not the general manager with all the power, but he's been around long enough. Flores knows as a head coach. You see coaches every year get 1 year, 2 years, boom, showing the door. You can't wait. You can't sit on your hands and not be active. You have to improve the team and the roster. And, that's what they did. And they're not done yet because, honestly, they still got some money to spend here, which we'll talk about more. I don't think they'll be that much more active, but they might have a signing here, sign there. And then come the draft, God knows what they'll do with all those picks. Maybe they'll just sit tight, sit where they are, and just take the best person available. Or if they want to just, swing for the fences, they could look to trade up and just front load rounds 1, 2, and 3 and just get as many guys in those early rounds. And, so we'll see there. But let's start with the first signing of the day. And this is one we have talked about, for weeks, how the Miami Dolphins need to improve their offensive line, how they need to come out of free agency with 2 starters on the offensive line. Eric Flowers, they came right out of the gate, signed him. He's your left guard. And today, on Wednesday, a name that has been linked to Miami forever, and he actually took less money to come into Miami. The Patriots offered him more money. He took less money to come to Miami because he wanted a 1-year deal so he can hit the market again next year and get a big payday. Center Ted Karras from the Patriots. Now, look, is he a huge upgrade over Kilgore? No, he's not. Is he a upgrade over Kilgore? Yes, he is. So, for 1 year, $4 million, he's an upgraded center. Now, look, we ain't getting Dwight Stevenson 2.0 here, so everyone's got to calm down. I know some people are flipping out, freaking out over this guy. He's a solid player. He's a solid player. But it's an upgrade. It fills a spot that they needed to fill. And now they go in the draft. They can still take a center if they want because Ted Karras can also play right guard. So if they draft a center late round 1 or round 2, they can move Ted Karras to right guard very easily. So they got some position flexibility here, and it fills a spot. And right now, if you're the Dolphins, and if they were to, once again, play a game tomorrow, you go Jesse Davis right guard, I would think, Ted Karras center, Eric Flowers left guard, just leaving the 2 open spots at tackle, which they might be able to address in the draft, or maybe they look for a right tackle here in the next few days. Tom, what are your thoughts on the Ted Karras signing?
I loved it. I think, honestly, if you want to look at the numbers and the Pro Football Focus stuff, yeah, he's 1 spot ahead of Daniel Kilgore. So people are like, no, it's not a big upgrade. It's pretty much the same player. No. Watch games. Watch both of those guys play. Hell, watch the Dolphins play the Patriots twice. And watch Ted Karras versus Daniel Kilgore. And you'll see how much of an upgrade it is. Karras is a very solid player. Like you said, flexibility on the line. And when you look at the Dolphins' current offensive line, the way that it's structured as we speak, Michael Dieter can play guard or center. Ted Karras can play guard or center. Eric Flowers can play guard or tackle. And Jesse Davis plays guard or tackle. That is tremendous that they are finding guys that can play different spots along the lines, because God forbid The injury bug hits the offensive line. You need to be able to shuffle guys around. These guys have played every single position pretty much on the interior or on the interior and sliding out, to, kicking out the tackle. So it was overall, I love the signing. I'm a big fan of the signing. Granted, I wanted them to go after Matt Skrill more, but Ted Karras makes a lot of sense. And the fact that he took a short-term one-year deal at $4 million and turned down a multi-year offer for more money from the Patriots tells you a lot. And I think a lot of that had to do with Tom Brady no longer being there.
Yeah, there's a few factors here. One, he wanted what is called a show-me deal, which is you give me 1 year, I'm going to show to you how good I am, and then you're going to have to pay me more, or somebody's going to have to pay me more. So he took a show-me deal. Now, with Ted Karras, he's only been a starter for 1 year, which was last year, which is fine. But he's only been a starter for 1 year, which is why I think a lot of teams were leery about him. And I also think, you know, he's not the most athletic guy in the world either, which is why he's only been a starter 1 year. And he was only the starter because the Patriots real center Andrews went down to injury, I think in training camp. So, you know, he got his opportunity because of an injury. He doesn't have a ton of experience, but what he did last year was pretty damn good in New England. So obviously, look, it's a smart move, Miami. There's no risk at all here. He's making $4 million for 1 year, and it's a high reward type move because if he's good or great, if he's great, you found your center of the future, you can give him an extension. And, you know, if he's good or if he's not so good, well, then you just move on from him after a year, and there's no harm, no foul. And I think one of the other reasons I read why he picked Miami, obviously the money's a factor, one-year deal. I guess he's really tight and really close friends with Kyle Van Noy, so I'm sure that played a factor on some level. I guess those two are like best friends or something. I don't know. But I read that today somewhere, and that did play a factor. So good signing there. Now, the second signing, they went back to New England, and they signed their third Patriot this offseason with linebacker, and I didn't get the terms of this deal, Elandon Roberts. Now, many Miami Dolphins fans will remember Elandon Roberts in that Week 17 game last year. He caught the 38-yard touchdown from Tom Brady, where the Patriots lined him up on offense, ran him down the sideline. Nobody from Miami covered him, and he had an easy touchdown. So Roberts, you know, obviously he knows Brian Flores. He was there when Flores was there in New England in 2017 and 2018. Elandon Roberts started actually a lot of games. In 2017, he started 14. In 2018, he started 11. Last season, he only started three. But still, even last year, with only having three starts, he was voted the defensive captain of the Patriots. So, you know, he's your typical Patriot. He can do many things. Might not be great, any of them, but you give him a role, you give him a job, he'll do that job to perfection. He's highly thought of as he was voted captain. You know, he's a guy who's, once again, like a lot of guys that you get from New England, he'll do things that not necessarily show up in the stat sheet, and he can do a lot of things well, even lining up on offense and having running down the sideline a fly route to catch a touchdown. So Roberts, you throw him in, now mind you, special teams, he'll play a big factor there, but you know, just more depth at that linebacker spot, which, as we keep talking about now, Kyle Van Noy, Jerome Baker, Raekwon McMillan, Elandon Roberts, Andrew Van Ginkle, Vince Beagle, Gruger Hill, who they signed from the Eagles. You know, they just have so many linebackers now. They obviously have a plan for all of them because they wouldn't add this many because the guys they just signed aren't getting cut. Andrew Van Ginkle's not getting cut. Vince Beagle, they just paid, like, this week. He ain't getting cut. None of these guys are getting cut. So they must have a plan in place. I think I know what the plan is, but I'm going to let you talk about this signing for a bit, Tom. What do you think about this signing?
I didn't mind it. Like I said on Twitter, you know, this guy can play in a pinch. He can play, along the linebacker group. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's got some versatility, but just based on the depth that you mentioned, I see him a lot more as a special teams kind of player, and he may have some snaps on defense. I'm not going to, you know, pound the table that this guy needs to play, you know, 40, 50 snaps a game, but if they want to get him in there a rotational basis or if someone got hurt and he has to play in a pinch, he can play 10, 20, 30 snaps if he had to. Really play long term, but the Dolphins are adding versatile players to the linebacking corp. Kyle Van Noy, very versatile, can get after the quarterback. Jerome Baker, very versatile, can cover, and he can tackle. Raekwon McMillan, great run stuffer. Van Ginkle, Beagle, both those guys can get after the quarterback and also can run step for step with tight ends. So these guys are versatile. They can get after the quarterback. So that amoeba, that zero, that cover zero style defense where everyone's just kind of moving around and standing up, when you have versatile players, you are able to do that, and you're able to do it more frequently. So the offensive line doesn't know which guy to pick up. So Brian Flores wants this confusion and for the opposing offenses, and getting versatile players like he has, you know, and like how they have acquired these players, it's just going to go and help this team long term, even in the short term. I think you're going to see, if there is no camps with the everything that's going on right now, if they're not going to have the April camps, which obviously that is a strong possibility.
And let's say they're canceled through May.
If they're canceled through May, they get into mini camps in June. These guys know what Brian Flores wants to do, so it's a less of a learning curve for a majority of these players that are brought in, and that is vital when you when you're signing free agents. You want players to understand what you're trying to do, and they have brought that in. And I don't care if they're coming from the New England Patriots. It is what it is. Brian Flores knows these guys. He trusts them. That's why they're here.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to see, obviously, with the addition of all these linebackers, I think it's clear we're going to see more of a 3-4 this year, where, you know, in a 3-4 set, not necessarily as much as a 4-3, because for years, the Miami Dolphins have run a 4-3, and they've gotten their sacks and pressure on the quarterbacks from guys like Cameron Wake, Jason Taylor. You want to go back a few years, you know, even Trace Armstrong, Ogunleye, you know, Olivier Vernon, you know, in a base 4-3. We've seen that in Miami for so many years. I think most fans are just used to that, to say, oh, you want a pass rusher who gets sacks, you get that from your ends. I think last year it was a little hybrid of both. They played a lot of nickel last year, I think out of necessity, just because of the roster they had. And yeah. I think this year with these additions, guys like Van Noy, Andrew Van Ginkle, Vince Beagle, they can get after the quarterback. So I think we're going to see those guys lined up outside a lot, blitzing and just coming. I think that's where they're going to generate the sacks and pass rush with those guys, not necessarily Shaq Lawson. Shaq Lawson is a, you know, as a 3-4, he's your end on a 3-4. He's what you want. He can set the edge. He ain't going to get you a ton of sacks, but he's a guy who's going to hold his spot and set the edge. And even with Agba, someone like him, you know, length, you know, long arms, huge wingspan, size, you know, he's built. He can play in a 3-4 or a 4-3, but he's got the size that you want almost for a 3-4 end. I think they're signing all these linebackers, and we saw it last year at the end of the year with Andrew Van Ginkle, and we saw it with Vince Beagle all year. You know, they can get after the quarterback. Van Noy has 6.5 sacks last year. He can get after the quarterback. Baker, we saw him last year on a few plays get, you know, destroy the quarterback, blow him up, and he can get after the quarterback. I think we're going to see a lot of a 3-4. I think we're going to get most of our sacks and pressure from linebackers. I think that's why they're adding so much. And I think you're selling Robert short, because when Flores was in New England in 2017-18, he started 14 games at linebacker and 11 games. I think he's going to get more play at linebacker than you might think, and some others. I think they just want to, you know, linebackers now is the key, where they're going to have flexibility and get pressure on the quarterback. And I think all these guys are going to play a lot, and they're going to be shuffling them in and out, keeping them fresh. So I think we're going to see a lot more of a 3-4, which leads to, you know, if they do make another signing here in the next day, 2 weeks or so, whatever, nose tackle, defensive tackle might be in the mix, because Godchow isn't a true nose tackle by any means. He's a good defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins, you can line up there. It's probably not his ideal spot. You want to use him, you know, as an end as well, for the most part. And maybe when you do switch to a 4-3 or a nickel at times, line them up as a defensive tackle. I think they got to add a true nose tackle on this team. You know, somebody who can, when they are in a base 3 or 10, a base 3-4, who can play the nose. And there's a few guys out there. There's a few guys out there who can do that. So I wouldn't be shocked if they do that. But I think that's why they're adding so many linebackers.
Yeah, like we said, it's the versatility aspect. And, you know, the Roberts signing, like I said, until I see it, we'll see. I think, again, it's a good signing because he can play special teams and he can play linebacker in a pinch. I just don't see him playing as more snaps than Jerome Baker, and I don't see him playing
more
snaps
than Baker.
Spiegel, but he is a rotational guy. Can he play 10 snaps a game, 15 snaps? Yes. Can he come in and start if needed, if there's a multitude of injuries at linebacker? Yeah, he can. He's got the experience. But, you know, these are signings that help Brian Flores instill his defense the way he wants to do it. And, you know, there hasn't been, outside of, you know, a few moves, it's a lot of familiarity with the system, and there's not going to be too much to teach because he still has his guys there from 2019 that were in the system for an entire season. So they know what needs to happen. Now you're just acclimating better players into the system, while these other guys, and I've talked about it quite a bit, they've gained valuable game experience as undrafted players and castaways from other teams, and they now fit with what Brian Flores wants to do. Are all of them going to stay? No. Not everyone's going to be here like they were last year.
A lot of the guys are going to be gone. I mean,
a lot of the guys will be gone.
If you are Sam Aguayvon right now, Sam Aguayvon, I mean, look, he's a nice guy, and he played well last year. I've actually talked to him off there because I tried to get him on the podcast. Team wouldn't let him actually come on. But, you know, I feel bad for someone like him because with all these signs at linebacker, Sam Aguayvon can start packing boxes. He is not going to have a job next year in Miami. Charles Harris, who's technically in a 3-4, is an outside linebacker. He can start packing boxes. He ain't going to be here. Mike Call was let go today. Chase Allen has no chance of holding on. Lacey, he won't be re-signed. Hanks, he's got no chance of hanging. I mean, with all the linebackers they signed outside, last year, outside of Vince Beagle, not counting Raekwon and Baker and stuff, outside of Vince Beagle and Andrew Van Ginkel, who was hurt like 95% of the year, none of those other guys are going to even make the team. I mean, still be in camp, but they're not going to cut one of these guys they just signed. Roberts is going to be here. The kid from Philadelphia Hill is going to be here. All these other guys, at linebacker at least, won't be here. Sam Aguayvon's gone. They're just gone. So they have reshaped that unit there. But, yeah, they've really upgraded the linebacker core, and I really think that's where they're going to get a lot of pressure in 2020. And we'll see what they do here with the line. They still need more bodies on that line because you got Christian Wilkins, Godchow, obviously Agba, Shaq Lawson. After that, you know, Taco Charlton, I have no idea what's going on with Taco Charlton. That's like a state secret right now. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see there. Jonathan Ledbetter, you know, he'll have a chance in camp, I guess. I don't know if he's going to win anything. Gerald Willis, he'll have a chance to fight out something in camp. So I could see them adding more bodies on the line, whether in the draft or they look to sign someone in that second wave of free agency there. But, yeah, they've turned over that side of the ball real quick. Now I got to go on a mini rant because with Miami signing these two expatriates today, then you throw in the Kyle Van Noy signing. Yes, we've signed three former New England Patriots in the span of 3 days. And, you know, Kyle Van Noy is a big-time player, I think. Ted Karras, you know, fills a huge need at center. So, and Roberts, you know, he's a backup linebacker. But, you know, he's a solid player who can contribute, who's going to be on a 53-man roster. And, you know, fans on social media, I'm getting emails. You know, oh, my God, just call us the Miami Patriots. We're just signing all these Patriots. First and foremost, we're not just signing any Patriot. We're signing guys who we need. Kyle Van Noy, we need. Ted Karras, we need. That's number one. Number two, you know, for 20 stinking years, we've had to live with the Patriots running roughshod over the AFC East and just the AFC and the NFL overall. And for all those years, they took every guy off the Miami Dolphins and made them a superstar, whether it was Larry Izzo, Wes Welker, Chris Hogan, Jonathan Freeney, Heath Evans, Sammy Morris, Jonas Gray, Rob Ninkovich. Good Lord, Rob Ninkovich. He was in Miami for 2 years. He got zero starts and hardly played. He goes to the Patriots. He's a 7-year starter and a damn near Pro Bowler every year. They've taken every Dolphin and turned him around and won multiple Super Bowls with him. Now, the fact we take three Patriots in 3 days You know, I'm not saying now we're going to start winning Super Bowls left and right, but we take three stinking Patriots in 3 days, and people are upset. This is our chance. The Patriots have been wounded, okay? Tom Brady's gone. They don't have a quarterback on their roster who's any good right now. They didn't have any wide receivers who are any good to begin with. They're not really trying to re-sign most of their guys. They're just letting them walk because I guess they're trying to get a bunch of third-round comp picks for 2021. Whatever their plan is, good, but the Patriots are wounded. The fact we're taking a couple of their guys who can actually play, who can actually help us win. You know, fans, get over it. We're not the Miami Patriots. We signed three stinking guys, okay? And one's a backup linebacker. We signed three stinking guys. So, you know, after all the years of watching them just, you know, just rob us blind, the Patriots, sign everybody from Miami, you know, and then turn them around and win a Super Bowl with them and make them great players. You know, I'm not even counting guys like, you know, Terrell Buckley and Cox, who back in 2001 got their Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, not Miami. I'm not even going to count them. But I ran off a name of about, what, seven or eight guys who, you know, Jonathan Freeney was in Miami. He stunk. He goes there. You know, he's starting 8-9 games a year, playing great. You know, Jonas Gray in Miami was a, you know, backup running there. He was a backup running back. He goes to the Patriots, you know, to have a stretch for like six games or running for 100 yards a game, helping them win games in the playoffs. You got to get over this hate of the Patriots. I understand we all hate the Patriots, but the fact we're signing ex-Patriots, one, it's smart because we have a head coach who actually knows these players and he knows which ones to go get. And number two, who cares? As long as the Dolphins win, just worry about the Dolphins. Don't worry about where these guys are coming from. And if we can, you know, give a little bit of payback to the Patriots where we take some of their guys now and maybe we start to win. Maybe we start to win the AFC East. Maybe we start making the playoffs and they miss it. Good. Don't you want to throw it back in their face? What, you want to win with some, you know, phony tough pride where I don't want nobody from the Patriots ever on the Dolphins? Get over it. I just want to win. I'm sick of losing. So I don't care if they go out and sign three more guys from the Patriots on Thursday. Go for it. I don't care. I just want to win. If those guys can help the Miami Dolphins win, I don't care if they come from the Patriots. So all you fans who are just, you know, throwing hissy fits on social media, oh my God, all we're doing is signing the Patriots. Yeah. So what? Get over it. Tom, if you got something to add, go for it.
I wasn't prepared for that, but it doesn't matter where these guys are coming from. If they are here to help the Dolphins win games, sign them.
Exactly. I don't care. Who cares?
I don't care if they're coming from the lowly, lowly Cincinnati Bengals. If they're here to help the Dolphins win, so be it. That is just the way it is. And Brian Flores brought in players he trusts. And it doesn't matter what uniform they had them on, that they had on the year before. If they're here now, it's all that matters. They're a Miami Dolphin. We're going to root for them. We're going to, and hopefully we're going to flourish. And like you said, all the years that the Patriots just stuck it to the Miami Dolphins, this is an opportunity for the Miami Dolphins to extract some revenge and put Bill Belichick in a position to want to just go away, crawl in a hole and leave.
Yeah, Tom Brady has already left. Our goal as the Miami Dolphins, I'm sorry, time to cut you off. I'll let you finish. Our goal as the Miami Dolphins right now is to stop Bill Belichick from passing Don Shula. Bill Belichick is 67 years old, and from people he talks to, I guess, because it was all over ESPN today and the NFL Network, and I was home all day now because I got to work from home watching this stuff all day, and it was nonstop Tom Brady and Patriots talk, which made me want to throw the remote right through the TV, because that's all they're talking about. Like, nobody else is signing with anybody. All it was that, you know, all they say is now Bill Belichick has a chance to prove when he breaks Don Shula's record. He must be telling everybody under the sun he's going to coach until he gets, you know, 48 more wins. Well, you know what? Without Tom Brady, it's going to be a lot tougher to pass Shula, and it should be our mission as the Miami Dolphins to stop that. Unless Bill Belichick wants to coach till he's 80, which he might. I don't know. You know, stop him from getting that one record. Because why wouldn't you, as a fan of the Dolphins, this is our chance to throw it back in there. Do you think Patriots fans all those years recall, we're the New England Dolphins, all we do is sign ex-Dolphins? They don't care. They were just happy to take are scrap heaps, turn them into great players, and win Super Bowls. So, you know, stop having the second city mentality where just call us the Miami Patriots. Some of you fans sound really stupid when you say that.
The most important goal, regardless of where people were last year or, you know, whatever else, the ultimate goal now is that the New England Patriots is – they're broken. They're a broken franchise on paper right now. They are letting everybody go. They are actually looking like a team that is going to start to rebuild a little bit more than everyone initially thought. And this division is wide open. Wide open. Are the Patriots going to win two games all season next year? No, they're going to win more than that. But
they're going to be in the playoff hunt.
The Dolphins are a team that have vastly improved on paper, and if they can hit some of these picks early in the draft next year, they have such a solid foundation for long-term success. But this turnaround, and we talked about it last year, Mike, if the Dolphins do this right, this isn't going to be a 3 or 4, 3 year rebuild or anything else like that. This is going to be almost as fast as the Buffalo Bills turnaround, but you just have to hit the quarterback now.
Yeah,
that's right. The important thing.
Yep. Right now, obviously, 2020. I think a realistic expectation, and this is prior to the draft. We don't know who the quarterback. I mean, we know Fitzpatrick's going to start week one and stuff. I don't know who the long term answer to quarterback is, but as of right now, a realistic expectation for 2020. You know, is fight for a wild card spot. And considering the NFL just added a wild card spot in each conference, there's three wild cards now, it's not unreasonable for the Miami Dolphins just to compete for one. I'm not saying they even got to get one. Just, you know, week 16 and 17, when they put up the graphic on TV, you know, in the hunt, just have like a Dolphins logo somewhere on the screen. That's all I'm saying. Be in the hunt in 2020. Now, come 2021, I would think the expectation is make the playoffs because, you know, they've had – you know, three full off seasons at that point. So, I mean, at some point, you know, you got to win. So I would say by 2021, that's the year where you want to make your move and, you know, say we're in the playoffs. But just this year, without knowing what they're going to do in the draft, you know, be in the hunt for a playoff spot late in the year. And the fact that they added a playoff spot, I don't think makes that unreasonable in the least. But again, like you said, the Patriots are wounded, which leads to our next topic here. You know, I'm sitting here today watching Miami sign these guys. And even over the past few days, watching Miami sign these guys, you know, like we said, they added probably seven starters. They had a couple backups. They're making moves. And you look at the Patriots, you know, they lost Shelton, it's gone. Tom Brady is gone. Vinoy, gone. Their center, gone. Their wide receivers already stunk to begin with. Their tight ends stunk to begin with. Their running backs are underachievers. I mean, they're okay. They got a bunch of guys, but not like a special back. You look on paper, and man, the Patriots, I mean, like you said, they are that's a wounded animal right now. And, you know, odds are, because they're not, I mean, they might sign a big name guy here in the next few days, I guess, that could, you know, sort of pump some life into the organization. I heard today, tonight here, just before we started recording, I guess they're looking at either Robbie Anderson or Emmanuel Sanders, and that makes sense because they do need wide receiver out. But let's just take a snapshot in time today, March 18th, 2020. On paper, we're going to line up the roster for the Patriots and the roster for the Dolphins. And Tom, I'm going to go through each position, and you tell me at each spot who's got the edge. So, and then we're going to add them up. Quarterback. As of today, no, Tom Brady's gone now. This is life after Brady. Who's got the edge today, March 18th, Miami or the Patriots?
Miami.
Miami's right. Fitzpatrick is better than anybody on the Patriots. Running back.
New England.
Yep, I agree. Offensive line. It's New England.
I'm going to have to say New England.
Tom. We don't have a left tackle on the roster. It's still New England today. Hopefully, by the start of the season, it's not. But as of March 18th, it's still New England. It's got to be New England.
All right.
Because we don't have an offensive tackle that we can count on. Wide receiver.
Miami by Atlanta.
Tight end.
Miami.
Miami's right. Defensive line. This is another tough one. Now, Miami's got some additions here.
Well, I will go Miami now. If you look at it on paper, they have more talent. New England just lost a bunch of theirs. So correct. It's got to be Miami.
Miami. Linebacker.
That'd
be Miami too, because they just took Benoit. That's a big addition. That hurts. All the Patriots really got at linebacker is Hightower, and he's been sort of slipping in recent years. It's gotta be Miami there. Cornerback. This is a tough one actually. I don't think it's that tough, but I think you have to go Miami.
It's tough. You give that to Miami from talent perspective. Yes, you give it to Miami. But, you know, Gilmore, C.J. Jackson, McCourty, they've got real good players over there in their secondary.
You want to call the push?
Yeah, we'll call it a push. I think that's pretty even.
I think that's fair. Safety. It's got to be New England.
Yeah, New England, because Miami really doesn't have safety outside of Eric Rowe.
So this is it. Once again, March 18th. So New England's got the edge in 1, 2, 3. New England. We got one push. In Miami, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 Miami. So we got 5-3-1. Now, we argued about the offensive line. Even if I give you, 5-3-1, you wanted to hand that to Miami. That just makes the gap even more. Even if we hand to the Patriots, which I think it is the Patriots, on paper, once again, on paper, take it for what it's worth, Miami's got more talent today on paper than the Patriots. Period, end of story. Period. It's not even, I mean, the secondaries are both very good for both teams. Both very good for both teams. So that's a wash. When you look at quarterback as of today, a big edge Miami. Wide receivers, big edge Miami. Tight end, big edge Miami. I mean, the skill position players outside of running backs, a big edge for Miami. I mean, on paper, you know, so when everyone says, well, yeah, they're still the Patriots, you know, they're still the Patriots. You know, talent win games. Talent win games. The head coach is a genius for New England. I'm not taking that away from him. But, you know, you can only, you know, coach up so much. At some point, you got to have guys who can make plays. And I know there's still a lot of time left here. They can sign a bunch of guys still. I get that. And they still have the draft. Who knows? They might pull a rabbit out of their hat in the draft. But when it's all said and done, you know, on paper, the Miami Dolphins have an edge. And they have an edge of quarterback. All right, we're back after Tom's phone line dropped out. Way to go, Tom. Nice job. Nice job by you. As I was just sort of saying, you know, it's the first time probably since the 80s where the Miami Dolphins have an edge of quarterback, you know, over the Patriots. And, of course, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's not the long-term answer for the Dolphins. And, of course, the Patriots are probably looking for the long-term answer. But, you know, as of March 18th, you can say the Dolphins have an edge at quarterback over the Patriots. And it's probably been since the late 1990s, I would say, with Marino. Not the 80s, late 90s with Marino, that you can say that with these two franchises. So, you know, now free agency's in full effect. It's official. And, I think Miami's done a lot. I mean, they've been a busy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, very busy. And, of course, all this stuff is pending the physicals. You know, could they still make a few moves? Absolutely they could. I think they haven't done anything that hasn't been surprising. Any next moves probably wouldn't be surprising. So I think the three spots where if they were to add somebody, and Tom, you let me know what you think.
Okay.
Would be offensive tackle, not necessarily a starter, but maybe someone for depth. Maybe a starting right tackle, though, because there might be somebody out there. Offensive tackle for sure. Defensive tackle, someone who can take up space in the middle. I think that is someone or a spot where they would look to add a body. And safety, because at safety, I know they signed a kid from the Bengals, but he's more of a special teams guy, not really – someone who you want out there at safety, I would say a lot. So I think offensive tackle, defensive tackle, safety, that's probably where they're looking if they do make any more moves. And then I think it's pretty much onto the draft at that point. And, you know, you got to give Chris Greer credit here in these opening days of free agency. I put something up on social media the other day. You know, he has marched through the first few days of free agency like Sherman marched through the South back in the Civil War. I mean, really, he had a mission. Nothing got in his way. He got who he wanted, did what he had to do, and just you know, won every battle. So I give them credit. But what do you think here with offensive tackle, defensive tackle, and safety?
I would love it if they were able to, again, address some of these players. Now,
you get one or two of those spots, not all of them. Just like
if
one
you
or two
can,
of them.
Yeah, if you can find a safety, you know, that removes that quote-unquote need in the early rounds of the draft where you are able at that point, maybe with the Saints pick or your first pick in the third, to get like Antoine Winfield Jr. I know everyone's obsessed with that, the kid out of Minnesota. I think he's a tremendous player. I don't see him as like maybe a day one starter, but if you can find somebody here, you know, lying around in the weeds in free agency that could be able to, you know, again, rotational depth, whatever it's going to be, you know, the Dolphins should continue to look for it. Now, again, they just released Rashad Jones. It was made official today that they let him go. So the Dolphins do have a big need at safety. And for all intents and purposes, the top guys that are still available, you know, I'm looking at the list right now. You know, you're looking for strong safeties at this point. So Tony Jefferson from Baltimore, he's not going to command big money. He's coming off an injury. Eric Reed from Carolina, coming off an injury, although he can't cover for anything.
I don't want him. I want nothing to do with him.
You have Adrian Phillips from the Chargers. Randall from the Browns.
I saw Joseph just signed with the Browns as we've been recording.
Von Bell sitting out there.
Yeah. I mean,
I like Von Bell, and his market right now is only $4.5 million a year.
Yeah. When you hit that second wave, they're going to be guys. There's going to be guys.
I'd love Von Bell. You signed Von Bell. I mean, this would be a home run free agency if you can get Von Bell at $4 to $5 million, a clip for like a 3-year deal. I mean, it would be incredible. I don't know why the Dolphins haven't called yet, because he's definitely a guy you'd want.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been a productive offseason. I'm sure there'll be more moves here in the next few days. Not a lot, but maybe one or two. And, you know, once we get past here in the next week, then I think we start to turn our attention towards the draft. And, you know, with the moves that have been made, we haven't talked about this and we won't talk about it tonight, but we're going to have to talk about it here in the coming weeks, is we're sitting at 5 and the Chargers are sitting at 6. And, you know, all depending on how you rank the quarterbacks, especially between Herbert and Tua, who you have higher, who the Chargers have higher, both these teams are going to be looking to leapfrog each other. Well, not necessarily Miami. Well, both these teams are going to look to move up to either pick 4, 3, or 2 to get in front of the other, or just for Miami's sake to ensure they get the guy they want. And that's going to be the talk probably the next month, because, you know, Miami's done all their moves here in free agency. The Chargers, I know they didn't get Tom Brady, but man, they've had a heck of a week too. And I know some people are saying, well, who sort of won the week when it comes to free agency? You can make a case the Chargers won the week. They had a heck of a week here when they signed Charles Harris. They signed Linval Joseph. They signed Brian Bulaga. They traded for Trey Turner. They extended Austin Eckler. They franchise tag Hunter Henry. Just between the guys they kept and the guys they acquired, they had a heck of a week. And, you know, the Chargers are going to be looking at quarterback now, because that's where they have a huge hole to fill, as does Miami, trying to find their quarterback in the future more so. But that's going to be the story here for the next month leading up to the draft, because Joe Burrow's going 1. Now, there was, once again, and this is not the first time it's been reported, so not going to go nuts, Armando Salguero, Miami Herald, on Wednesday, today, put out saying that the Miami Dolphins are going to try and trade up to number 1 overall to get Joe Burrow. Now, they might be whistling through the graveyard in Cincinnati. You'll just listen and not even entertain any offers. That's very possible. But, you know, it's been reported multiple times. The Miami Dolphins are going to try. So take that for what it's worth. It's going to take a ton to get that number 1 pick. And I know most fans probably don't want to part with a ton. But to get that pick, you're going to have to part with, and it doesn't all have to be this year, you might have to part with, you know, pick 5, 18, pick 39, and maybe Houston's first next year. I mean, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at three first-round picks, a second, and maybe more to get that number one spot. Because Cincinnati, they need a quarterback too, and they're not in the market of helping the Miami Dolphins in any way. So we'll see where that shakes out. But that's going to be when we sort of shift towards the draft. That's what's going to be a lot of. What, you know, as a fan, are you prepared to part with a bunch of picks to trade up? Because unless the Miami Dolphins love Jordan Love and feel that they can sit a five and just take him, or unless the Miami Dolphins don't care if they get Herbert or Tua and they're fine with either, you know, they're going to have to trade up to ensure the guy they want, because the Chargers are most likely going to be burning up the phone lines trying to come up with a package that will beat Miami's. Now, Miami has more to offer, so I think any team, even if they got an offer from the Chargers, are going to call Miami and say, beat this, because Miami just has more to offer. But, you know, crazier things have happened, Tom.
Yeah, and again, it's a process that, you know, now that free agency is, I would say, winding down a little bit, because most of
We're about to hit the second wave
of free agency is coming. The Dolphins still aren't done. They still have a roster to fill out. But yes, the focus now turns to the draft. They're going to be heavily focused on the all 22s on these quarterbacks, since they can't physically sit and talk with these guys or go to a pro day. They have to rely on the film, and they have to rely on, you know, what their coaches, what their offensive coordinators have to say about them, and, you know, and just trust the film. And when it comes now to one particular quarterback, it's not only just the film. Now you have to talk to the doctors. Now you have to talk to the rehab specialists. You have so many people you have to talk to, because you're not able to see him work out. But what I think will happen is eventually, before the draft goes down on April 23rd, that a bulk of these quarterbacks will find themselves showing off their footwork, showing their arm strength, doing those sort of things, and just sending it to teams. You know, it's not going to be like the full-blown pro days that we're accustomed to, but they have to show something. And Tua, for first and foremost, he's got to be the guy that has that kind of video package. He's got to show teams that he can move. He's got to show that he can turn those hips when he throws the football, that he has the arm strength, that he's not gingerly walking on that hip. He wants to prove himself to be a top quarterback. There's so much that's going to happen between now and April 23rd. We are now only 36 days away from the first round of the draft, and there's just, you know, there's a lot that has to go into it. On your point on potentially trading up for Joe Burrow, I'm not opposed. It's got to be what the package is for that move to happen. Because if the Bengals say, no, we're taking Burrow, then you just pick up the phone when they say no, you're already talking to the Redskins. And if the Redskins say, yeah, you know what, we're staying here, we're taking Chase Young because we know we can't get him at five, you hang up the phone and you call the Detroit Lions. You do not hang up the phone until you know for certain you can get the quarterback you want. Don't settle. Get the quarterback you want. We got 36 days to talk about that, but that's all I'll say right now.
I'll close out with this because we can't go on forever. But the Miami Dolphins have been searching for a starting quarterback since Dan Marino. Let's be honest. They've had garbage there for the most part. I mean, some guys are okay, but for the most part, they've had garbage. If they are that strongly convicted, and look, I'm not the biggest fan of Joe Burrow in the world. You know that. I've said that a million times. I'm not the biggest Joe Burrow fan, but I'm also not the general manager of the team or the head coach, so it doesn't matter what I think. If they have Joe Burrow number one on their board, and he's the guy they got as the best quarterback in this draft, I don't care how many picks you give up. You go get your guy, because the days of settling at quarterback are over. They're over. So I might not love Joe Burrow, but it doesn't matter what I love. If they love him, then they have to move heaven and earth to get him. And if that means you got to part with a treasure trove of picks so be it. This is more than a one-year rebuild. It is. But the quarterback is the most important position on any roster. And unless you get that right, then you're just wasting your time. So the days of settling for the number two and number three options or trading for the AJ Feelys of the world and everyone else's sloppy seconds are over. So if they love Joe Burrow, I don't care what Cincinnati asked for. You say, what do you want? They say this. You say yes, and you make that deal. Because we have to get the quarterback spot right. Period. End of story. End of this podcast. We'll talk about that more in the coming weeks for sure. Well, because we got a long time to talk about that in the lead up to the draft. Everyone, check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We've got articles, news, everything about the new players that have been signed or agreed to terms for a contract. We got that up on the website. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Dolphins Talk and at Dolphins Talk Tom. Wherever you listen to this podcast, be sure to subscribe. So when a new show drops, it drops right to you. If you want to email me, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And I think that's about it. We'll see what tomorrow brings. If there's no signings, maybe we'll take a day off and not do a show. But if there are even one signing, if there's even one signing, we'll be here and we'll have a show talking about it and talking about all the news and how it affects the Miami Dolphins. So, Tom, you have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Hope your internet works here and doesn't drop again in the coming shows.
I wish I knew someone that works at Spectrum.
You might want to call the internet provider and really complain. So everyone, have a great night, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.